We really have a desire to spread Krishna consciousness here in Cambridge and the surrounding areas. Srila Prabhupada said that spiritual life is for the most intelligent people. In the Bhagavatam we find a very beautiful verse, Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagye Sankirtaner Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasha. Sumed. Anyone know anyone called Sumed? No, we don't know anymore. He used to be Sumed. Now he is Sundar Chaitanya. Sundar Chaitanya Prabhu, okay. But Sumed is a very beautiful name. You lost it now. Med means intelligence, and Sumed means one who has very good intelligence. So in this verse of the Bhagavatam, it's being explained that when Krishna comes in this Kali Yuga, he comes, but he comes Akrishnam. He doesn't come in a blackish form or a bluish form or the form of a dark rain cloud, but he comes as Akrishnam, in a golden, bright, effulgent form known as Lord Chaitanya. And when Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya, then he teaches that the process by which we can attain spiritual perfection in this age is by chanting. Because we don't have so much concentration to study, we don't have so much discipline to meditate in the mind. One devotee said to me, my mind when I meditate is like a horror movie. So isn't it? The mind is like so many thoughts come up. So we don't have that potential to meditate. We don't have that discipline to study. We don't have so much capacity to renounce everything and take very strong vows. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Kumbh Mela, but in 2010, I think it was, or 11, they had the Kumbh Mela. So for those of you who don't know Kumbh Mela, Kumbh Mela is the biggest gathering of human beings on earth. So in this 30 days, everyone comes to different places, but the main one is at Allahabad, Prayag. And for 1 month, they have a festival. 30 million people come there. Yeah, I think more actually, something like that. 30 million. Yeah. Population of London is how much?
No,
that's the UK.
That's the UK. 10 million, I think. 10 million, something like that. So three times the population of London arrives. And why do they all arrive? Because it's very auspicious to be. That's a long story, I won't say that. But many, many yogis come there. To this day, the Indian government doesn't know how all of these people get there. Srila Prabhupada said the yogis, they go down in one river, they chant a mantra and they appear in another river across the other side. So if you go to Kumbh Mela, you can see all these yogis coming out of the river. I don't know if they just went in and came out. You have to decide for yourself. But all these people arrive there, and all these yogis, they can do incredible things. You can see in Kumbh Mela. You want to see someone levitate? Have you ever seen? Understand? Levitate, go off the ground. You can see in Kumbh Mela, no problem. You want to see someone form some ashes from nothing? You can see in Kumbh Mela. Because in Kumbh Mela, the yogis are doing so many austerities, they can stay underground for 30 days. In Kumbh Mela, I went once and I saw there was one yogi in the tree. And he had been in there in the tree for years, surviving somehow or other in the tree. So everyone was gathered around looking at him. He had not spoken a word. Satyavak, this is called. Satyavak means if a yogi restrains his speech for a certain amount of time, not saying anything, Maunavrat, complete silence, then he gets the siddhi of Satyavak, which means eventually when he does say anything, it will definitely become true. So this is all going on. But in this age, all these processes of spiritual realization are not possible. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, Yajanti hi sumedhasha. That if you are very intelligent, then you will realize we are weak, we are not so disciplined, not so committed. Therefore, let us just chant Krishna's names. So in this age, everything becomes very, very simple, isn't it? Like if you go to Waterstones, there's like an idiot's guide to everything. Idiot's guide to computer programming, idiot's guide to gardening. For me, like idiot's guide to cooking, whatever it may be. So make it very easy, isn't it? So there's a dummy's guide to spiritual life in this age. But it's also simultaneously the highest thing. And therefore Srila Prabhupada came to the world to deliver this message to the most intelligent people, that if you actually want to achieve spiritual perfection, try to take the chanting of Krishna's names very, very seriously. It looks very, very simple. It looks very, very basic. It looks like it's just the beginning stages. But actually it's the beginning, the middle and the end. Just like a child may be writing ABC, isn't it? And then later on when they go to university and they're doing a PhD, they also write ABC, but now they're writing in an algebraic equation. So an unintelligent person will look at them and say, what did you learn all these years in school? Now you're doing ABC in the beginning, you're still doing ABC. Yeah, it looks like ABC, but now it's on a significantly higher level. It's the ABC of algebra. So chanting is like that. It's the first thing that you do when you join the Hare Krishna movement. They tell you, like, can you chant? You don't have to change your life. Yeah, right. you don't have to change your life. Just chant Hare Krishna. And it's very, very simple. Chant and be happy. And then, but then it carries on, and in the middle of your spiritual life, then we start having workshops and retreats on chanting. And you're thinking, like, I thought it was easy, chant and be happy. And then even when you are a perfected soul, then what are they doing? They're just going in seclusion and chanting Krishna's names, or together chanting Krishna's names again and again. So therefore the scripture says, Namno hi yavati shakti papa nirharane hare tavat kartam na shaknoti patakam pataki naraha. Nam, name, the name of Krishna, yavati shakti. If you want to know the power of Krishna's name, papa nirharane hare, it can release you from more sins than you can perform. Don't try it. Yeah, more than someone can have a mountain of pap, a mountain of karma, but the chanting of the holy name can relieve it. So somehow it's very difficult to just sit and chant, isn't it? Is it difficult to just sit down in one place and chant Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, I'm telling them chant, 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 and they're telling me can't, can't, can't. So difficult. When we sit down to chant in the morning and we put our hands on the beads, then so many thoughts are going through the mind. So many regrets about the past. So many plans for the future. So many insecurities, so many worries and fears. Excitement, distraction in different ways. So it's not so easy to just sit down and chant. But as we develop this taste and attraction to the holy name, then our life becomes beautiful. When Srila Prabhupada arrived in America, then he wrote a poem. And the poem is very, very beautiful. It's called Markine Bhagavat Dharma, preaching or sharing Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And in the very final verse of that poem, he says something incredible. Bhakti nahi bedi nahi khub naam daro, bhakti vedanta naam ebe sarthak koro. Srila Prabhupada, who's like the closest devotee to Krishna. In the last line of his poem, you know what he says? Bhakti nahi. Krishna, I don't have any devotion. Bedi nahi. Krishna, I don't have any knowledge. Kub naam daro. But the one thing I do have is strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. That is very interesting. Because when we wake up in the morning, we may look in the mirror and say, Bhakti nahi. Actually, Krishna, I don't have much devotion. Yes, I sing loudly. Yes, I dance. Yes, I do all of this service. But half of the time, I'm thinking about all kinds of other things. I'm not so attracted to you. I don't have so much love for you. So then we realize I don't actually have that much devotion for Krishna. I'm doing a lot of devotional service, but how much devotion I have, I don't know about that. And then we look in the mirror and we say, Bedi nahi. I also don't think I have so much knowledge. Because maybe I memorized all the verses, maybe I learned all the stories, but how much have I really understood this knowledge? How much has this knowledge gone deep within my heart? Maybe it hasn't gone so deep. Because every day we hear, I'm not the body, I'm not the body, I'm not the body. But when we go past the shop window and we turn to the left, then what do we see? Our body. And we're looking. Mirror, mirror, on the wall. Do I look good today? So much still in the bodily concept of life. How are people seeing me? So how much deep knowledge do we have? So in this final verse of this poem, Srila Prabhupada is giving us a great hope. Because Srila Prabhupada does have devotion. Srila Prabhupada does have knowledge. Therefore he was given the name Bhakti Vedanta. But Srila Prabhupada is giving us a great hope. He's saying, if you wake up in the morning and you realize you don't have much love, if you wake up in the morning and you realize I don't really have that much knowledge, if you can simultaneously wake up in the morning and say, but Krishna, I have strong faith in your name, then from the holy name, all other weaknesses, all other shortcomings, all other missing aspects of your spiritual life can come about. That's the hope that Srila Prabhupada is giving us. In this age, everything comes from the holy name of Krishna. So therefore we have to try to develop our taste for chanting the holy name. And first that begins with making a daily commitment to the holy name. Because the way we show our faith in something is by giving our time and energy to that thing, isn't it? If you say, I have faith in something, but then you give no time to that, you give no attention to that, then how much faith do you actually have? So when we look at ourselves, we realize I have to develop my faith in the holy name. I have faith in many other things. I put my faith in other people. I put my faith in my arrangements and plans. I put my faith in my bank balance, so many things we put our faith in. But the ultimate thing we should put our faith in is the holy name. So the first thing we do is we make a commitment to the holy name that every day I will spend a certain amount of time with you. If you want to develop a relationship with someone, then the first thing you have to do is commit to spend some time with them. So if you want to develop your taste, then first thing is more time with the holy name. And so we encourage everyone, chant one round. If you're doing one, do two. If you're doing two, do four. If you're doing four, then try to increase to eight and eventually to 16. because the more time you spend chanting, then you will actually begin to experience Krishna in His holy name. But it's not just spending time chanting the holy name of Krishna, it's also a matter of the quality of that time. In that time that you're chanting, how attentive are you? How absorbed are you? How much are you present, fully available to hear the sound vibration that that is coming out of your mouth? If you spend time with the holy name, but physically you're present, but mentally you're not present, then it will have less impact. So the first thing is give your time, but the second thing is give your presence. See, that's very, very important. Even now in the world, you have books like The Power of... And The Power of Now. I'm glad to read you're not... I'm glad to know you're not reading all these books. No, I mean, they're good. They're also good. They have some knowledge there. But The Power of Now, because, you know, people like Eckhart Tolle realize that, yeah, people are not present. Have you ever tried to watch a movie that's out of sync? Isn't it? The picture is there and then there's a time lag and then the sound comes. Isn't it annoying? How long can you watch a movie like that? It's not in sync. It's very annoying. But our life is not in sync. Therefore, it's not a very nice life to live. We're here, but our mind is somewhere else, either in the past or in the future. So the first thing is you give your time to Krishna, you give your time to the holy name. But the second thing is to give your presence to the holy name by being attentive. But then, more important than even all of those things is to give your heart to the holy name. So then, to just chant, but chant mechanically with no emotion, with no love, with no desperation, with no genuine calling out for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, when you chant Hare Krishna, it should be like the crying of a child for the mother, with that much desperation, with that much desire. But we kind of are not having that desperation. We're kind of comfortable in the world. Everything is going okay, and chanting is a part of my life, and we kind of just breeze through our rounds, you know. It's a nice background sound to the stream of my thoughts. But who is there that's really opening their heart, crying from the heart? You see, we have to learn how to cry for Krishna. Can you cry for Krishna? Most of the people are crying for material things. This relationship didn't work out. This upheaval came in my life. This unfortunate situation is looming on me and people are crying for the things of this world. Madhvacharya, he said, if you add up all the tears that people have shed for material things over lifetimes, those tears will be enough to fill an ocean. So some people are crying for material things. But later on, when you become a devotee, you learn the art of how to cry for Krishna. Because you realize that, Krishna, I left the spiritual world, I left spiritual happiness, I left my relationship with you, and now I'm crying to get that back. And you realize that when you get that back, all other problems in your life will be solved. So later on, we're crying for Krishna in a mood of desperation. And then later on, once we develop our love for Krishna, then we're also crying. But we're crying tears of joy. So everyone in this world will cry. Everyone in this world has to open their heart. Everyone in this world will express their emotions. But what will you express your emotions for? Who will you express your emotions to? That choice is yours. But when you direct your emotion, your desperation towards Krishna, then you start developing a closer relationship with Krishna. And then you begin to experience the taste of the holy name of Krishna. So, this is what we're doing. This is the most basic aspect of spiritual life that Srila Prabhupada came to give us, the chanting of Krishna's names. So today we thought we'd reflect a little bit on this. So maybe I'll just pause there and see whether any of you may have any questions on chanting, or you know what you find difficult, what questions you have about how we should do it, or anything you'd like clarified about chanting. Share some tips on attentive chanting. First thing is, do it early in the morning. As we know, the day is split into 24 hours. So it said the first 8 hours of the day are in goodness, the second 8 hours of the day are in passion, and the final 8 hours of the day are in ignorance. So immediately in the morning hours, if one is chanting, then one is going, it's like swimming with the current of the stream. But if you then start chanting in the hours of passion and then the mode of ignorance, it's like swimming against the current. So the first thing is, do it at the right time of day. Second thing is, do it in the right environment. Create a sacred space which is clean, which is fresh, which is well lit. A space in which there are no other distractions, a space in which no other disturbances will displace your focus. So chant at the right time, chant in the right place. Second thing is, try to chant with the right meditation. So many devotees, what they do is just before chanting, they may read something about Krishna, or they may read something about the holy name, or they may read something about, you know, from Bhagavad Gita or scripture, just to bring their meditation in the right place, that now I'm about to do the activity, now I'm about to have the most important conversation in the whole day, which is the conversation with Krishna through chanting. So try to have the right meditation. And then the fourth thing I would say is that at certain times in the month or in the year, try to chant many, many rounds. So if you're doing 16 rounds, then try once in a month or once in 2 months to chant 32 rounds. And just experience what it's like to chant many, many rounds. See, because when you chant 4 rounds, 8 rounds, immediately after you've chanted one round, it's like a countdown. 7 to go, 6 to go, 5 to go. So you're already counting down. How you are. But you know, when you chant 32 rounds, you think, 1, 31 to go, 30 to go. It seems so far away that you just think, I'm not even going to count. It's so many, I'm not even going to count. Now I'm just going to just chant. And then you actually begin chanting and you forget about the numbers. You forget about the quantity. You forget that, oh, this is a duty. And you're there just chanting, chanting, chanting. And it's difficult. At about 16 rounds, 20 rounds, it gets difficult. But then 25 rounds, you just start forgetting about it. And by 30 rounds, you're in, you know, a different space. And you experience something different. So try. Try some days just to chant many rounds. Go to the park. Maybe not on a cold day like this, but maybe somewhere quiet and chant many rounds. And then the next day when you come back to do your 8 rounds or your 16 rounds, it will be different. You're like, 8 rounds? Yesterday I did 32, 8 rounds, like nothing.
Why is it important to count?
Why is it important to count? Yeah.
Chant without counting?
Yeah, actually one name is enough. Eka nama Krishna kore sarva papa hoy. By one name of Krishna, you can attract Krishna's attention. Krishna can be conquered. So why so many names? Because to find that one pure name of Krishna, we have to go through many, many names. So the idea is that when you count, because right now we don't have a spontaneous desire to chant, what we do is we count and we make a discipline that I must do at least this much, whether I feel like it or I don't feel like it. Because in the beginning we're counting to have that discipline to make sure, as I said, that we're spending a certain amount of time with the holy name. Later on, when we become more advanced, actually we don't need to count. Because what does Krishna say? Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrita namashantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upashate. Krishna, satatam kirtay. They're always chanting. You don't need to tell them chant. But in the beginning we have to count. Because if we just say, I do it from my heart, however much I feel like. But then there may be many days you don't feel like. So therefore we have to count. And we have to say, no, you don't feel like, but we should do. So, but you're right. Einstein, he said, everything that can be counted doesn't necessarily count, and everything you can count doesn't necessarily, it doesn't always count. Anyway, something like that. So in the beginning we're measuring because we don't have taste. Does that make sense? You can ask something else if it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. We can say that half an hour we do chanting without counting. So you're also counting.
The only reason we don't say it with half an hour is because devotees have been known in their chanting to go into samadhi. But unfortunately it's not spiritual samadhi, it's a physical type of samadhi which begins with an S and ends with a P and has a Li in between. So we are measuring the names because the names are what are powerful. We are looking for one name of Krishna. If you can sit in the room at one point in your life, in one corner of the room, chant one name of Krishna and experience one genuine teardrop of love fall from your eye, your life is perfect. If you get to that point. But to get to that point, we have to chant Krishna's names many, many times and purify our heart. Therefore, we're not just measuring the time, but what we're measuring is the name. Sankhya purvaka namagana natibi kalavasani krito. Sankhya purvaka, sankhya means to measure. So the great saints, they were measuring how much they're chanting Krishna's name. So yes, try to measure. In this world we measure everything. Why not in spiritual life? You measure the success of your children on their exam results, isn't it? If your kids come to you and say, no, it's not about numbers. It's not about numbers. If you're a boss of a company and the employee comes and says, were you in work last week? It's not about the numbers. It's not about numbers. It's about if you do from your... No. So every... Hare Krishna. So everything we're measuring. But you're right. Eventually this measuring is not required. When we have love, you'll be told, someone will have to tell you, stop. Right now, we need some inspiration. Start. The car is not starting. It needs a jump start, isn't it, on a day like this. So we need a jump start. Yes?
I guess analogous to what we talked about yesterday with rituals, And I guess taking a step back from being attentive, chanting, just doing chanting full stop, is that kind of the first rung, I guess? Something's better than nothing at the start.
Yes, like I said, the first thing is give your time. You say, like, part of my day is just for chanting. Give that time. There's something. You made a sacrifice of your time. That's something. But then, the next thing is try to now sacrifice by being present. And then try to sacrifice by bringing your heart into it. And it's like, yeah, if someone, for example, if you have a relationship, if someone makes time for you, that's nice. But if they make time for you, but they're not really present, then it's like, but if they make time for you and they're present, but in your heart of hearts, you can see that really, they'd like to be somewhere else, then still it hasn't quite touched your heart. So you'll be happy to be with someone when they make the time for you, they're also fully present, and really in their heart of hearts, they want to be with you. If one of those things are missing, it will not fully capture you. So Krishna is available. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna wants you to take him. Take him. Take the relationship. But we are kind of dragging our feet. Oh no, I can't, it's difficult, I have this problem, I have this responsibility. In the future, I will do it. Tomorrow, the mystical land of tomorrow, where 99% of human potential exists, but no one ever makes it there. Tomorrow. I said, tomorrow, tomorrow. Someday I will do it. No, there are 7 days in a week, and someday isn't one of those seven. You tell me which day, Monday, Tuesday, no, someday. No. Tell me one of the 7 days. Time is going. What will we prioritize in our life, you see? Take a look at your life and ask yourself, what am I prioritizing? And then ask yourself, is this what will count? When all is said and done, what do I want to show in my life? What do I want to take with me? We should prioritize the right things, isn't it? So it's difficult in life because there are so many demands and so many responsibilities and you have to balance many, many things. But in the midst of all of that, remember the real goal of it. Once there was a man, he was driving by and he saw two people on the side of the road, two workmen. And one of them was digging up using a spade, making a hole. And then the other one with the spade was taking that dirt that he took out and then putting it back in the hole. So he saw them doing this, one taking it out, one putting it in, taking it out, putting it in. So he thought, that's a bit strange. Anyway, he came back after 1 hour and they were still at it, doing the same thing. So he came out of the car, he walked up to them and he said, what are you guys doing here? They said, we're doing our job. He said, what kind of job is this? They said, we're planting trees. He said, but I see that one of you are taking the dirt out and the other one is putting the dirt in. They said, yeah, the third guy who puts the seed in, he's sick. He didn't turn up to work today. But we still have to do our job. So it's like this. We're going through life and we're doing our job. You're doing everything. You're going through the motions, maintaining your life, maintaining your house, maintaining your sanity, taking the dirt out and putting it back in. But don't forget in the middle of it, what's the whole purpose of it all? If you don't put the seed in, then you may go through your whole life and maintain everything amazingly and still forget to put the seed in. Why are we here? Therefore, Vedanta Sutra begins, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. First understand what is the seed that you're supposed to put in and make sure For goodness sake, don't miss that bit. Because if you do everything else perfectly, therefore what does Bhagavatam say? Dharma svanustita pumsham vishvakshena kathasuya notpadaya diyadiratim shrama evahi kevalam. You can do your dharma perfectly. Your kula dharma, your duty to your family, perfect. Your pati dharma, your duty as a husband or wife, perfect. Your loka dharma, your duty to society, perfect. But if you do all of those dharmas and you don't fall in love with Krishna, at the end of it all, shrama eva hi kevalam, Bhagavatam says, in no uncertain terms, it's all a waste of time. How can dharma be a waste of time? Because dharma is meant to lead to bhakti. But if dharma doesn't lead to bhakti, love, then it didn't fulfill its purpose. So it's good that we have two workmen who are digging up and putting it back in. Because without that, you can't grow trees. But if they only do that and they don't put the seed in, then they're also, in plain terms, bagal. Mad. It's madness. It's a complete waste of time. So this is why we're always coming together spiritually to remember that the chanting is the seed. See? Nama, Guna, Rupa, Leela. From the name of Krishna, eventually what will happen is in your mind, Rupa, the form of Krishna will continuously be manifest within your mind. Not just that, Guna, all of Krishna's qualities and his beauty and his amazing personality will begin to hijack your consciousness, and then Leela, all of Krishna's pastimes will be manifest in your own consciousness. You will remember Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are Nitya Leela, eternally enacted. Why are they Nitya Leela? Because they're always going on in the spiritual world. They're always going on somewhere in the material world, but they're always going on in the hearts and minds of the devotees. Why? Because Nama, Guna, Rupa, Leela. The name, they've taken the name, and the name is like the trigger, isn't it? Like you have dominoes. So if you hit the first domino, then everything else comes. So therefore, to try to dedicate ourselves to this. So yes, in the beginning, if you give time, that's good. But then give your presence and your heart. Yes?
So if you are committed to a certain number of rounds, then in times of, suppose, bereavement or any contingency, so as in when you realize you are doing chanting, but if you are not able to complete your committed rounds, then is that okay?
So if there's some upheaval in your life and therefore it's difficult to chant?
It's just like for a few days or...
What we have to do is train ourselves to understand that the holy name is our shelter. If we say that when there's a difficulty in my life, is it okay, Krishna, if I don't chant? Rather, it should be the other way around. That's where we should go to for shelter. Because what's the ultimate upheaval of life? What's the ultimate bereavement? What's the ultimate distress? Is that one day we will also have to leave. And what does Krishna say? Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samsayaha. Antakale, at the last moment of time, smaran muktva, leaving this body, what do you remember? Ya prayati, that you will attain. Whatever you think of at death, that's what... So if we are like, whenever there's a difficulty, that's when we take a break. Then when it comes to the ultimate difficulty, which is leaving this world, if we take a break then you'll have to come back all over again. When we go through difficulty, when we go through pain, when we go through bereavement, this is all there to help us realize there's no shelter in this world. At one point you realize whatever I do, whatever arrangements I make, however I try to plan it out, I can never control this world. Then you let go. And then you, like Draupadi, isn't it? Then she let go. And then Krishna came. As Krishna said, I didn't come before because you were still holding on. So I know it's difficult. What can we do in life? There are so many challenges. But eventually it should be that the chanting becomes our shelter. Does that make sense? Do you think that's practical or not? Impractical. Have I? Yeah. So sometimes there may be some emergency situation, sometimes you're very busy, some things may come up and you're not able to chant 16 rounds. So then we can catch up. I can do extra the next day. But generally, how many days go by where we're so busy that we forget to eat? I don't know, I didn't experience many days like that so far. How many days go by when we're so busy we forget to sleep? Sometimes. But then we catch up, right? Because we know I need to catch up on my sleep. So then catch up. But generally in this world, from what I've seen of my own life and what I've heard other devotees and other honest spiritual practitioners say, most of the time, the real problem is that we haven't prioritized it. Because whatever is important, you will find. It's not a question of having time. Some things are so important, you have to make time. So is chanting in the column of, I'll do it if I have time? Or is it in the column in your life that this is so important, I have to make time? So one time you can do an assessment of your life and make two columns. Things I have to make, things I'll do if I have time. And things I'll do, things I have to make time for. And then write down all your activities. And then you will begin to understand where is it in your priority. Yes. Yes.
Energetic and motivated. I know we are following ABCDE, but when we are doing it, when we are trying to balance the spiritual life and the family life, you are putting your effort, but you can, your energy getting drained. How could you keep yourself all the time motivated and energetic while you are doing the devotional service?
So always have activities or people or times in your life when you recharge. You see? Everyone needs to recharge their batteries. You know, so you need, you are a, you know, you have a family, then you have your spiritual practices, then you have your services. It's all very demanding. And then sometimes you need some time away from everything just to be kind to yourself. So make sure you have some time like that. You have to have some space. Isn't it? In Ayurveda they say half of your stomach should be filled with solid, one quarter with water, and one quarter with sweets. No, I'm joking. Yeah, yeah. Isn't it? Because without that air, why is the air important? Because otherwise there's no space for the fire of digestion. So if your life is like so packed, like eating up to here, then you're like crawling on the floor. But when you're left, when you're wise enough that you left one quarter of your free for air, then not only do you feel good, but all of that that is in the stomach gets digested and transformed into energy. But when you overeat, you feel the exact opposite. You feel like you're completely drained, isn't it? So you have to arrange your life in the same way. Don't overeat by packing it with so many things and then no time to recharge. So you may say, but I too many things, no time. Therefore, you have to become an eliminator. Not a terminator, but an eliminator. You know what an eliminator means? It means you have to eliminate some things from your life. You have to say no to some things sometimes. We say, but I can't, I don't want to say no to all of these things. But you know what will happen? If you don't consciously say no to some of these things, ultimately in life, some of those things will end up being neglected anyway. So better you make a choice and you say, of everything I'm doing in my life, these things I can't do right now. And then free up some time so that you can breathe, you can be energized, and so that when you put your hand in your bead bag, you don't go into samadhi after 5 minutes. And that's the physical samadhi. If you go into the other one, then that's okay. So be kind to yourself. You need to take care of yourself, to take some time. And people in the world do it, no? Even the most busy CEOs and all of these, they go to the golf course. They go on a cruise. They take time. So you take time. Yes.
Sometimes you don't have the chanting mala.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in this street, if you're sitting in a traffic, or if you're working, we have some space. If you count like Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, in our finger or in our mind, without holding the tulsi mala, is that work or no?
Yeah, they do, like here, there's 12, right? 1, 2, 3, 12. And then here, you can have 9. Because right? 9 times 12 is? 108. So you can go like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then you go here, like, okay, 1. Hare Krishna, 2. And then someone comes along and is like, can you hold this for 1 second? And you're like, oh no! I think I've done 16 rounds. I think I've done it. You know? I can't be sure, but I think I did. Yeah, we can do in emergency. These things are emergency. But when you are in contact with Tulsi, that's powerful. Tulsi is Tulasi Krishna Prayasi Namo Namaha. It's very dear to Krishna. So just having your fingers on Tulsi is very purifying, very powerful. So yeah, there are other things like clickers, counters. Sometimes we don't also want to walk on the street with a bead bag, Last time, once I walked on the street with a bead bag, someone thought it was a sling. They thought I'd fractured my hand or something. Like you have a sling, like when you have a broken hand, So I had my bead bag like that, with around my neck like that. I said, what, you fractured your hand or something? So it looks a little strange, no? There comes a point, there comes a point when you're just confident to be a Hare Krishna. We just say this is who I am. Yeah, I go down the street, I have a bead bag on my hand. And maybe a few people will look. I mean, people have no problem. They walk down the street with like a, you know, a Mohican or something, you know. I have no problem. And we kind of look at them and like, yeah, that's totally fine. You know, everyone has their own. But then we're very self-conscious about, you know, tilak, oh my God. And sometimes we used to go to programs and then, you know, you have tilak and then you go out and you don't realize that you're still wearing tilak, you know. It's like everyone's looking, you think, why is everyone looking at me funny? But at one point you just say like, I am a Hare Krishna, it's okay. It's not so bad. People like it. So yeah, you can do, but try to do on the beads if you can.
We do with the beads.
Yeah, but sometimes
when I'm out, when
you're out. You can also take your beads out. You can try it. Try it out. You can do it. I remember actually. I used to study at UCL. So this is. I was a devotee already. I'm still not a devotee, but I was trying at that time. And I used to come on the Metropolitan line from Finchley Road to Wembley Park. And every single day I used to see this one person who had a long black coat, like Nita Shekhar, like his coat, like that, you know, that long black one. And he used to stand in the same place in the train. He never used to sit down. He was always standing, I remember. And I remember because his collars used to be up like this. And it was a long black coat. And for the whole journey, his hand would be like this. And I, you know, like many, many weeks I saw him like this. So my doubt was going, like, you know, at this time, you know, so many things on terrorism and other things were going on. So I was like, what does this guy have under his jacket? Like, you know. And then later on I saw him at the temple and then I realized he was chanting, but it was just under the jacket. It's okay. So it's interesting. So, yeah, we have to become Krishna confident. Yeah, I'm a Hare Krishna. It's nice. Yeah. People will come and ask you, oh, what are those things? You will be able to tell them so many things. So, yeah. Yes?
What if you're like so determined to do your 16 rounds? Mm-hmm. But then some of them are not in your temple room, sitting down in a peaceful place, like if they're like when you're putting kids to sleep or driving.
So it's the classic question, is it like, should I do 8 really well or 16 not really well? That's like the classic Hare Krishna FAQ. Should I do 8 rounds really nicely, fully like a pure devotee? Or should I do 16 rounds like a mixed devotee, like a bit distracted? Shall I tell you the reality is, even if we did 8 rounds, we'd probably still be like a mixed devotee. Because even when we are sitting down, we may be in one place, our mind is like around the world in like 80 seconds, you know. You see, Alka, it's like, there's a value in the number. 16 is like a magic number, because Srila Prabhupada said, if you chant 16 rounds and you follow the principles, I guarantee you'll go back to Godhead. Now that's interesting. So that means Srila Prabhupada said, there's something to 16. It has some, there's some blessings, there's some mercy, there's some strength. So, you're a mother, you have young children. Mothers means you're 24 hours on call. Is it? Yeah. Father also. By default. 23, 1. Yeah. You got 1 hour of respite. So your parents, you're always on call. And then when your children are coming, you cannot be like, no, I'm chanting my rounds, come back later, you know. No, that's... Actually, one lady, she was a pujari, and then she had a child, and then she came to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, now your daughter is your deity. So it's like deity worship, actually, when you're taking care of your kids in Krishna consciousness. It's very beautiful. So yeah, you have it's not an easy life, you know. Krishna knows. Krishna knows your challenge. See, the main thing is this. If you're doing the best you can, then Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate tesham nitya bhiyuktanam yogakshemam bahamyam. Krishna says, if you're lacking in any way, I'll carry what you lack. I'll make it up. But we have to go to bed at night and be able to say, I tried my best. So if you're doing 16, unless it's like a really difficult to maintain, I would say, because you reach 16, stay at 16 and just do the best you can. You're a mother, sometimes some of your rounds you may have to do it while watching your daughter, or, you know, watching her in the plate, whatever it may be. That's life. You have to accept at this moment. One day she'll be grown up and your son will be grown up and they'll be earning loads of money and they'll have 3 houses in Cambridge and they'll have their own kids, and then you'll be grandparents and you'll have to do the babysitting. No, I'm not joking. No. And then at that time they'll say, Mom, Dad, you did your bit, isn't it? Am I right? You're going to do this for them? You're going to do this for them, right? Then in the future you will say, Mom, Dad, you did so much for me. Now you retire. And you go to Vrindavan. And you go to Mayapur. And you just chant. And we'll take care of everything here. Would you do that for your parents?
Yeah.
See, there he goes. He's made a pledge. So your time will come. And for now, do the best you can. Yeah.
The significance of 16, you touched on it being kind of a very auspicious number. Is there kind of a bit more kind of detail you can provide on that, or a bit more depth in?
Yeah, people ask. But 16, the main reason why it's significant is because Srila Prabhupada was the acharya. Srila Prabhupada was the person who came and gave us the means and process of practicing in this age according to what was appropriate and relevant for us. And therefore, because the pure devotee of Krishna has captured Krishna, therefore their words, their directives become as good as Krishna's. And therefore, because Srila Prabhupada said 16 is how much you should dedicate yourself to, then it means that Krishna has also accepted that as a... So we could give other reasons in numerology, and we could give other reasons, but the main thing is that the pure devotee said that vow has, you know, purchases Krishna. So if we honor it, then...
Except
yeah.
With the 108, I think you may
have seen 108 is also like, okay, there are 108 Upanishads, there are 108 principal gopis, and then in numerology also. So we can say like that. But yeah. Okay. Yes?
So, Prabhuji, first of all, thank you so much. I got to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I have a question. There is somebody who is diagnosed of some mentally ill. Would spirituality really help him or her? And my second question is, we say that, you know, whatever good deeds we do passes on to the children. Is that true?
So in answer to your first question, spirituality is helping on the... helping anyone who chants, knowingly or unknowingly, it helps them. It helps them on the deepest level of the soul. There are also mental and physical benefits when we chant as well. And so, even in modern science today, there's so much research to show how through meditation, so much is improving on a mental and physical level. So yes, by chanting, it can give many mental and physical benefits for sure. That doesn't mean that we should think that by chanting, everything mental and physical is solved and therefore we don't need to take practical help in the world. You may also need to take practical help. Some people have some difficulty with mental health. They may need therapy. They may need to even sometimes take some medication. But along with that, the chanting should be there, which will support. But the ultimate benefit of the chanting is that beyond the mental and physical, it is awakening the consciousness of the soul. Sometimes we were talking with Malav yesterday about dementia and people who have dementia. And you know, even spiritual practice for people with this condition, even we may not see an immediate benefit or change in their health, we can understand that on a deeper spiritual level they're being benefited. Because the soul is hearing. So yes, there's always benefit. So any exposure you can give anyone to spiritual sound does have a powerful effect. And your second question is about
Do our good deeds
pass on to others?
To our children especially. That's what is always told to us, you know.
Definitely the other way around, there's a connection because you are connected in your lives. Like say for example, it's said that if the child becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, then many, many generations in that family are liberated as a result. And similarly, yes, the spiritual credit of the parents and activities that they're doing, the benefit, we can dedicate that. You have a good feeling towards your children, so naturally your spiritual practice and your good feeling towards your children means they'll get benefit of that. But ultimately, if they're hungry and you have the meal, it's not going to satisfy their hunger. They might get some satisfaction by seeing you full up, but ultimately they'll still need to eat. So we don't rely on that. Like, yeah, they get the benefit, you get the benefit of your children, but you also need to do, they also need to do. Because Srila Prabhupada said, ultimately everyone has to fly their own plane. At the end of life, we have to fly our own plane. No one will be there. At that time, is whatever comes to your heart and mind, whatever has become most important to you, that will come out. So, yes, we're all connected, we all help each other. Like when a plane is on the ground, then there are many people, there are engineers, there are, you know, all kinds of ground staff that can help. But once that plane takes off, the pilot has to fly it. So we're all connected on the ground. We're all in the airport here together. We're all helping each other. But then you got to fly. So.
Just continuing on that question, sorry. Like how to trigger that thing in your children then if you really want or someone you would love to him to come into a similar sort of thing.
Therefore Chanakya says in the first 5 years of a child's life you give them love. Just love. So then trust is built. He says second 5 years you give discipline. Now they have some trust because you gave them so much love. You have disciplined them. And then he says later on, I mean it's not like this, usually it's like 1 year of love, 10 years of discipline. First stage is love, second stage is discipline, and then what does Chanakya say? Friendship and independence. hard as it is for parents, at one time you have to tell your children, now you go and decide what you want to do. And you know what? They'll probably make mistakes. They'll probably make the wrong decisions. They'll probably decide to do things and you'll look at them and you think, oh no, don't do that. Krishna's sake, don't do that. But you'll have to let them go through some things. Because even Krishna doesn't force Arjuna. Because at the end, what does he say? Iti te jnanam akhyatam. I gave you all the knowledge. Vimrasheta the sheshena. Think about it. And then, yata icha, whatever your desire is, tatha kuru, that you do. So it's difficult for a parent. You have to let go and you have to say, okay, it's your life. Now you live your life. But if you've given them enough good guidance, if you've given them spiritual love, if you've given them the know for sure, they'll always come back to it. And then they'll come back and say, you are right. Yeah, it's difficult. Therefore, I never had any children. but I can, I'm well placed to give you advice. Zero realization, life experience.
Can I have a secondment if you want for a year?
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll get back to you on that one.
Sorry, I just had a question around, we were talking earlier about devotee burnout. Too much activities, Krishna conscious activities happening in your life, you come to a point that you burn out and you just walk away from it. And I was just thinking of the other side of the spectrum as well, that sometimes devotees dip in, dip out, keep doing that, but then they're not committed to it. So both the sides of the spectrum, how could...
Well, here we are talking about planes, and it's like a plane can never take off unless you develop momentum. Therefore, you find there are these huge, long runways, and the plane has to get onto that runway, so you taxi onto the runway, and then, yeah, the engines start moving. And then, you know, it starts picking up pace. And then at one point, just like, vroom, you can feel it's kicked in now, the other engines. And then it picks up pace. And then at a certain moment, when the momentum is there, vroom, takes off. But your plane in Krishna consciousness will never really take off if you just kind of like dip in and dip out. You don't build any momentum. So if you don't build momentum, how you will take off from the ground? So therefore, there's commitment. Therefore, we're measuring numbers. Therefore, we're trying to take a responsibility. Therefore, we're trying to structure our life in such a way that Krishna is there in everything. And that builds a momentum. And then you start flying. Otherwise, you can be in Krishna consciousness for so many years, but you're not really flying. You're just kind of still on the runway. And it's okay, but when you fly and you go up and you see the whole scene from the sky, it's very beautiful. So it's nice to go high in the sky because then you can see everything for what it is. But you can't go high in the sky if you don't build up the momentum to take off from the runway. So it's not the number of years you are in Krishna consciousness. Prabhu, I've been in the movement 30 years. Congratulations. No, I mean, that's nice. But one English writer, he said, it's not the years in your life, it's the life in your years. You can be around for many years and be a casual Hare Krishna. Not a bad Hare Krishna, not a good Hare Krishna, but a casual Hare Krishna. Yeah. It's like a little bit of seasoning of spirituality on my life. Just a little bit. Still good. but you won't take off. Everyone has to fly their own plane, so how fast you want to go on the runway, it's up to you.
Hare Krishna. Can we chant whilst listening to Kirtan or listening to a lecture in the temple or listening to a lecture at home?
Definitely it's better listening to a lecture than listening to the news. Definitely it's better listening to Kirtan than, I was going to say Bon Jovi, but that came to my mind. But anyway, that's from like decades ago. You don't know Bon Jovi, right?
No,
that shows. Hey, there you go. But sometimes it can also be a distraction. It's a spiritual distraction, but a distraction nevertheless. Because when you hear a lecture, it's like, wow, that's an interesting point. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I wonder what that means. And then there's a stream of philosophical thoughts that now go on that detract. When you hear a kirtan, it's really nice, but it might be like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Wow, that's an amazing beat. I mean, that was a really good tune. I need to learn that one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then it's like, okay, then maybe we're not focusing. So to just be able to sit and listen to Krishna's name. Yeah, it's like, wow, it's so simple, so hard. So hard to just sit and listen. Hare Krishna. Wow. That's what it is. Simply sit and listen. So Prabhupada said, just try to hear yourself chanting sincerely. Write that one up on the wall, Prabhupada. It's a direct quote. Just try to hear yourself chanting sincerely. And if you can do that. So ideally, not. Some devotees, I've seen them chanting their rounds while having a conversation. That's an interesting one. Like, Abhyanka has his bead bag, I have mine, and I'm like, I'm speaking. And while I'm speaking, he's doing his rounds. And when I stop speaking, he responds to me, and I do my rounds while he's responding to me. It's like, it's good style. Huh? Yeah, it's, just try to hear yourself chanting sincerely. It's so simple, we may just miss it. Krishna made it so easy for us. And then we make it complicated. Yeah. Yes. I was going to say stop there, but you're the host.
We just wanted to break down our process of chanting.
Mm.
So in the Hare Krishna mantra, we have Hare Krishna and
Ram. Ram.
So when we are actually chanting, we are focusing on, sometimes you know, our mind just goes to the Krishna's pastime. Sometimes it goes to anything that we have read. Sometimes we meditate on Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it all sort of a right way of doing? And
yeah, if Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's memories, Krishna's quality naturally comes to your mind, that's very beautiful, no? That's nice. I wish I had that problem. That's very nice. Of course, all of those things should act as a glue to bring you closer in contact with the sound vibration. So as long as whatever's going on your mind is acting as a glue to keep you more connected with the vibration, it's a good thing. And generally if you, you know, if naturally a remembrance of Krishna is coming and you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and you know, naturally Krishna, naturally the glue, it will be a glue. That's good. So whatever is acting as a glue to the holy name, that's very good.
Krishna is the name, because the name and a form is similar.
Mm-hmm.
Some says it's okay, you can meditate, but there is you can meditate on Krishna's pastime, but it is not as good as just
Generally, we would say that if it comes naturally, then all good and well. But you don't need to start like, okay, today on the chanting of 16 rounds, I am going to meditate on Brahma stealing the cowherd boys of Krishna. So I will be going through the chapters bit by bit, visualizing it in my mind, and at the same time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. But I have to get the storyline right and make sure I meditate. So then that may not be the best. But if naturally you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then, oh, and Krishna, and he just... You know, you expand it as all the cowherd boys and the calves and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. If it naturally comes, that's nice. Gita verse, yeah, nice. Again, it's like with philosophy, sometimes it can become intellectual and mental, and then again, you go on many strings of thought. You see? So, the name. Rupa Goswami says, No jane janita kiyad biramrite krishneti varna dei. I do not know how much nectar there is in the two syllables Krishna. Krishna. Two syllables. So I don't know how much nectar. I desire thousands of years, thousands of mouths. When those two syllables enter the courtyard of my heart, then they conquer my mind and senses and render my consciousness inert. But who can access? You see, it's like a treasure. Who can access it? One who has love. So we are beggars of love. Prema Bhikshu. You have to become a Prema Bhikshu, a beggar of love. Krishna, I have so many things. I was so successful in my life. People glorified me. I have so much influence. And by your mercy, so many things came. But I have no love. I can come into a room and then... Because you're the sannyasi, you get the garlands, and you get the seat, and you get the best plate of prasad. Maharaj, the king of Maha Prasad. And then after all is said and done, I'll walk out of this room, and when I come in front of Krishna, Krishna, I have no love. I have no love, Krishna. Please give me some love. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to try and be the real thing. So we have to beg for love. So Krishna, that's the key. Bhakti nahi, bedi nahi. I have faith in the holy name. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Just one announcement. Sorry to interrupt. Anyone who owns a blue boat thank you. And I'd like to give a heartfelt thanks on behalf of the whole community for His Holiness Sri Bhagwan Keshav Maharaj for spending a second day in Cambridge. I think all of us will have found that his words are truly inspirational. He spoke with his usual humor, humility, and honesty. I think we've all got a lot of takeaways from what he said about how to chant properly, chanting at the right time of the day, chanting from your heart, and how in this life we need to not just live this life, but actually sow the seeds of spirituality which have taken away as well. And also something I've learned is how our children can save us and liberate all of us. So in Cambridge Seed of Learning, I think we've actually learned the real truth.
Thank you so much, Malik.
Thank you so much.
You are very eloquent. You should be sitting here. That was a good summary.
We have, from this lecture of knowledge, we have some lecture that the Matajis have provided. So we'll hear next.
Sorry, there was someone wanting to say
was
something
there
here?
Question?
Oh, when did you start giving initiation?
I think time's over. Trying to become a servant first.
I will be must have list then. When I will be ready, I hope.
Thank you.
But is it soon?
Krishna knows.